we're still in talking about walking in the ways of the Lord, and this is part 8 today, and it's good. It's connected to the last two, but it is a little different. We're calling it being spiritually minded. You know, there are only two mindsets. They're just two. People don't realize that, but there's only two mindsets. Everything that we do will either be carnally minded or spiritually minded. There's only two. There's only two, and we'll be one or the other. Everything we do will be related to one or the other. I can be spiritually minded in one area and carnally minded in another.
Uh-huh.
You know, I can be spiritually minded right now and just in a few words switch, you know, and be carnally minded.
And you can't be part in and out.
No.
Out. It's one or
one
the other.
One or the other. That was my next statement. No, there is no middle ground. You know, we like to think, well, can I be a little bit of each? No. No. Everything you do, everything you say, everything you think is either carnally minded or spiritually minded. And it's sad when Christians, they're really born again, but they stay carnally minded because they don't even know what being spiritually minded is. They don't even know how to get there. They never thought about it. They just go to church. They get mad all the way there. They come home all the way mad. They sit there mad at the preacher, and and they go out mad.
Or sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so.
Yeah, not realizing that's carnally minded, and the word says it's death. It cannot lead to life. Yeah, you got your card punched, you know, but how much good did it do you? See, we're supposed to be spiritually minded all the time. Everything we do is supposed to be spiritually minded. Well, we're not going to be that way in the world we're living in unless we just stay word-minded all the time. So, but tonight we're going to be talking about being spiritually minded. You know, last week, we'll start with our last section last week because it's directly related to what we're talking about. Because the last statement we made last week was a person walking in the ways of the Lord, having an established heart, is spiritually minded. And God's word ruled. God in his living word is first place in this person's life. They are not ruled by their senses or by their emotions or by their feelings. And we talked about that in detail, so I won't go back over it. But the scriptures we used to start with there on that was Romans 8, 1 and 2. And Romans 8, 5 and 6. I'll read those. We talked about these scriptures as we closed last week in detail, but they're the foundation for tonight's study, so we'll read them again. Romans 8, 1, New King James Version. There is, therefore, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. And we talked about the fact that you can be in Christ Jesus but walk in the flesh. You can be in Christ Jesus and walk in the Spirit. So we make the determination on whether we're spiritually minded or carnally minded. But as far as God is concerned, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So the limit of there no condemnation is walking in the Spirit. If I'm walking in the flesh, then condemnation is already there. God's not condemning us, but the condemnation is there. He condemned the law of the flesh, or carnally minded, that's condemned, that's death. So if we're walking in condemnation, walking in darkness, the condemnation is there. It's already there. But I can move from there to the law of Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, where that's where the life is. We have been made free from the law of sin and death and translated into the law of life in Christ Jesus. There's only two laws, The same way there's only two mindsets. There's only two laws. The mindsets are related to those two laws. Well, Romans 8 won't go any deeper than that, but that will help us tonight. Romans 8, 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. And the context of that set is continuous. You know, without saying set their minds and keep them set. If I'm set my mind on something, or I'm set in a way of behavior, or set on doing something, it means that I don't waver with that. It means that I'm going this way and no other way. So that's one of them understood things without being said here.
And it says, and seek those things.
Yes.
Well, and then the New International here, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires.
Yeah. Yes, that's good. I like that. Thank you, Nate. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, now notice they live according. So if they're living according, what's that mean? It means they're set.
All
this
the time.
Is why they're set. So with those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So the two mindsets, there's only two, so I'm going to be one or the other. One is death, and one is life. One is fear, worry, and depression. The other one is life and peace. A person walking in the ways of the Lord, having an established heart, or being spiritually minded, puts us in a place to know His ways and what our ways are supposed to be. A person walking in the ways of the Lord, having an established heart or being spiritually minded, puts himself in a place to know His ways and what our ways are supposed to be. 1 John 4 and 15. You cannot walk in the ways of the Lord without being spiritually minded. And you can't walk in the ways of the Lord without an established heart. You'll be in and out, up and down. You'll be wavering. And what happens when a person wavers?
He
doesn't receive anything from
God. Double-minded.
He's double-minded. So we want to live spiritually minded. 1 John 4:15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So that communion, that covenant has taken place. God's placed himself in us, and we are in him, in Christ. Verse 16, and we know, and we have known, and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. That settles the whole thing. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. I can't abide in the Word or abide in God. I can't have that relationship with him without him being in me.
Amen.
The moment I get born again, he places his Spirit in me. But that's not the end of the story. Now we have to develop. We have to live according to that Spirit that dwells within us. He is not holding back. If I get born again, he comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And that places me in him. It doesn't mean I'm living that way. But I have the ability to. I can walk in the newness of life. I can be spiritually minded. Verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. And almost every translation I've seen says it exactly that way. I've not found one. There might be one that doesn't say it that way. What's yours, Jane? Name?
Yours is New International.
17?
Yeah.
In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like him.
Yeah, that's the same as he is, so
yeah,
are we.
Jesus.
As he is, so are we in this world. Well, we just got done saying in the last verse, God is love. So if God is love, as he is, so are we, then we're love. Mm-hmm. We're supposed, that's what being spiritually minded is. We're love-minded. We're word-minded. A person walking in the ways of the Lord, having an established heart or being spiritually minded, is in a place to know God's ways and what our ways are supposed to be. So it puts us in that place where we know his ways when we're spiritually minded. He reveals his ways to us. And because he reveals his ways to us, then we know what our ways are supposed to be. Because as he is, so are we in this world. A person walking in the ways of the Lord, having an established heart or being spiritually minded, puts him in a place where we can know the voice of the Holy Spirit, where we can hear his voice, God himself who lives in each of us, the Holy Spirit who lives in each of us. We know his voice. We hear his voice. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So if they cannot snatch them out of the Father's hand, they cannot snatch them out of Jesus' hand either. They are one. My sheep hear my voice. We have a communion together. We've been born again. A person walking in the ways of the Lord, having an established heart or being spiritually minded, puts himself in a place where he can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, God himself who lives in each of us. The Holy Spirit only says what the Father says. The Holy Spirit only says what Jesus says. The job of the Holy Spirit is to reveal the heart of the Father and the heart of Jesus, to reveal the Word to us. He teaches us the Word. We can hear his voice because he lives in us. If we're inside-minded, if we're spiritually-minded, glory to God. A person walking in the ways of the Lord, having an established heart or being spiritually-minded, puts himself in a place where he can be led by the Holy Spirit in every area of his life. So not only are we able to hear the voice of the Spirit, we put ourselves in a place where we can be led by the Holy Spirit, but we have to be listening. Psalm 25:1, this is the Amplified because I like the way it says it. Other versions say soul, like we mentioned before, but the Amplified says, unto you, O Lord, do I bring my life. O my God, I trust, lean on, rely on, and am confident in you. He puts himself in a place to be led by the Holy Spirit because he has brought his life. He's brought his life to the Father. When I bring my life to the Father, I'm in him. I'm communing with him. And he's able to commune with me. So it's so important that I bring my life to him. My soul, mind, emotions, and will is one thing. But that leaves a lot out. I like the way the Amplified says, unto you, O Lord, do I bring my life. Because I'm bringing everything that makes Michael Michael. I'm leaving nothing out. In verse 2 there says, O my God, I trust, lean on, rely on, and am confident in you. If I brought my life to him, then I do trust him. I do lean on him. I do rely on him. And I am confident in him. And when I'm doing those things, I'm the same with the Word. I'm the same with the Holy Spirit. So I put myself in a place where I can be led by the Holy Spirit in every area of my life because I brought my life to him. He's holding my life. He's taking my life, showing me where to go and what to do because I brought my life to him. He's able to do that. And then in verse 4, David says, he's praying here, he says, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and faithfulness and teach me. So See, we need to do what David did here. We need to call upon the Lord to do that. It needs to be, not only do I bring my life to Him, but I need to call on Him to teach me. I need to verbalize that. I need to hear myself say it. The angels need to hear me say it. The Holy Spirit needs to hear me say it. It's a desire in my heart for the Lord to teach me His paths. So because I'm walking in the ways of the Lord, I have an established heart, I'm being spiritually minded, now He can teach me because I've positioned myself so that He can. That's my job. He's not going to be able to do it unless I position myself so that He can do it. God Himself has an eye on our path of life, and He Himself will teach us how to choose. It's a promise in His Word. In Psalm 32, verse 7, David says, "You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall," now those are absolutes, aren't they? "You shall surround me with songs of deliverance." That's what David said. In Psalm 32, he's going through, again, he's saying what's going on and where he's at. But then he starts in verse 7, "You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me in trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance." He positioned himself for God to do something. You're positioning yourself to hear. You've made your comment. Now you're waiting on the Lord. And verse 8 is God speaking back to David. God says, "Because you have positioned yourself, because I'm your hiding place, because you declared that I will preserve you in trouble, and that I will surround you with songs of deliverance, you've positioned yourself so that now I can say to you, David, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye." I like that. I like knowing that when I position myself to be guided by the Lord, He will do that. He will teach me not only how to choose, teach me how the way that I should go, but He'll guide me with His own eye on my path. And that is because that word "selah" there in this context probably means to pause and calmly think about that. The reason I say that is because David had to be listening. He had to stop and listen inside himself so that he could hear the Lord say. He didn't keep his mind wandering on what was going on around him. "I hope God heard me say that. I'm making this decision." I see David stopping and thinking.
In the middle of a song?
I do. I see him pausing and thinking about this.
That
most of the time,
to
hear the Lord, you have to stop your own thinking.
What we call a bird's eye.
Yeah, the pause.
The pause.
Mm. Yeah. I really believe that's what that word means. The more I study it, and the more I've looked at commentaries because of that difference, every one of them says the same thing. And because of what David is saying here, I can see him say that and stop and listen. The majority of the reason why we don't hear God is because we don't do that. We don't stop and listen. That's the kind of thing we need to learn how to do. And that's what I see David doing here, out in the middle of that sheepfold. He's going through these problems, and, "Lord, you are my hiding place. You shall preserve me. I'm in the middle of this trouble, Lord, but you shall preserve me. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance." And then he just sits there. Maybe he's waiting for the next verse, maybe not. But he's listening. That's what I see him doing.
Well, that's something I call getting quiet.
Being quiet before the Lord.
Yeah, centered prayer.
If you just inside and out.
Yes.
Quiet.
And that's what I see David doing here, is exactly that. Then God has a way to get in and say something. I see him meditating on those points as he's saying them. Because they're not coming from out of the air. He's now, what rhymes here? That's not what he's doing. I see it a heart condition. He might have been saying those same things for who knows how long, just listening to the Lord and waiting. And then once he pauses, God honors what he's been saying. He touched God's heart. And God says, I will instruct you. I will teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye. I see that relationship, that interaction spiritually, that only comes when you listen like that. Verse 8 is what God said in response to what David said. If we give him a chance, God will always respond. A person walking in the ways of the Lord, having an established heart, or who is spiritually minded, has positioned themselves, unlocking the blessings and protection of God, which he so deeply desires to provide for his people. When I'm spiritually minded, I have an established heart, and I'm walking in his ways, it puts me in a position to where his protection and blessings flow. If I'm not spiritually minded, if I'm not walking in his ways, if I don't have an established heart, even though he wants to protect, he wants to impart his blessings, I've hindered him. He will still do whatever he can in little bitty places where y'all open a door at, but not the way he could pour out or he desires to pour out. He desires to have a continuous blessings flow into our lives and through us to others. He desires to have 100% protection no matter what's going on in our life. He desires for us to be in that place of Psalm 23 that we talked about last week. That's his desire for us. But I need to position myself for that. And this guy who is walking in the ways of the Lord with an established heart, being spiritually minded, has done just that. He's positioned himself. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? See, that's God's desire. He wants to give us all things. He even paid the price so that he could. But I have to position myself. A person walking in the ways of the Lord, having an established heart, or being spiritually minded, puts himself in a place of protection where the angels can protect and work for him. A person walking in the ways of the Lord, having an established heart, or being spiritually minded, puts himself in a place of protection where the angels can protect and work for them. See, if I'm not walking in the ways of the Lord with an established heart, being spiritually minded, then the angels are limited. I have limited to them. They're part of God's blessing and protection. Psalm 91, verse 11 says, for he shall, another absolute, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Now that's the commandment that the angels have been given. They've been given that commandment. But if you go through Psalm 91, you'll see at the beginning this person has entered into the secret place. He has positioned himself. He's being spiritually minded. This person in Psalm 91 has an established heart. He's walking in the ways of the Lord. Psalm 91 is about that kind of person. And the verse 1 talks about that. This person has positioned himself. The rest of them are what God does because he did that. And then verse 14 through 16 is what God says back because this person set his love upon him. Psalm 91 is another picture of this person we're talking about, having an established heart, walking in the ways of the Lord, and being spiritually minded. It's a pattern. It's another type and kind, the way Psalm 23 is. So he shall give his angels charge over us. Do I expect it? I do. I expect the intervention of the angels. Not only do they protect us, lest we trip and fall over, but they're the ones that hearken to the voice of the word, Psalm 103, verse 20. They hear that voice word and they carry it out once they hear it. You see how important it is for us to strive to walk in his ways. We can't walk in his ways unless we know what they are. We know they're all love. We know that. And we're going to get to those, a list of them. Not tonight, but we will. My job is to desire to walk in his ways. And even if I don't know all of them, I know, number one, they are all love. So I can walk in the, well, I can govern my life with the love walk. And until I know what the others are, as the Holy Spirit teaches me where I need to correct myself and change, he will honor my faith in my love walk here, and those angels will be on assignment. And because I've set my love upon him, now I'm going to be word-minded. I'm going to desire the word. So as I study the word, as I pray, they're going to take that word and work with it. There's a lot goes on when I pray. A lot happens when I pray. Things that I don't even know about or don't even think about. But those angels are instantly on that. They don't have to wait 25 days like they used to. The cross has taken place. Now they've all been sent, the word says.
Amen.
All the angels have been sent. So they've all been sent to work for the heir, to minister for the heirs of salvation. That's us. They've been sent. So they're waiting for something to do. And see, if I'm walking this way, I'm constantly aware of what's going on, and I'm thinking spiritually. I'm not thinking carnally. So I watch my words. I watch what I say. I watch my attitudes. I care about hindering the angels. I don't want to do that. And I'm aware that if I don't watch what I'm doing, I will hinder them. I don't want to do that. Do you know how absolutely helpless Satan is where the word's concerned,
Amen.
And where love is concerned, and where those angels are concerned? Where we are concerned, he's helpless unless we open a door. And I want to keep my door shut. A person walking in the ways of the Lord, having an established heart or being spiritually minded, puts himself in a place where he is victorious over the world. 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So this person who is walking in the ways of the Lord, having an established heart, is spiritually minded in what he does, he is more than a conqueror.
Amen.
He has already done the conquering. God has taken care of the circumstances and problems and issues that you need to overcome. He's working with you. You need to do the walking, but he's carrying you as you walk. You know, he's already got that path set for you. In 1 John 5, 18b, he who has been born of God keeps himself, and that wicked one does not touch him. How do we keep ourselves? We keep ourselves in the love walk. We keep ourselves in the word. We keep ourselves spiritually minded. We keep ourselves having an established heart, and we walk in his ways. That's keeping ourselves. We're guarding our heart, the way Proverbs says, above all that we guard. We're guarding our heart, and that binds Satan. The first place I go when things are not working very well, number one, I've always said you go to your love walk, yes. But what you're actually doing is you're checking yourself to see if you're keeping yourself. Where am I falling short? If he's functioning here, it's by deception, number one. And if he's functioning here and being effective, then some area I'm falling short on.
Somewhere I've allowed it.
It's being allowed. If I allow him by simply not commanding him and binding him. See, if I don't take the word and bind him up in that area, he can function there a little at a time. I have to enforce his defeat. That's my job. And as I stay in the word, and as I'm being spiritually minded, walking in the ways of the Lord, having an established heart, being spiritually minded, I'm keeping myself, but I need to enforce his defeat with the word and with that love walk. A person walking in the ways of the Lord, having an established heart, or who is spiritually minded, will be God and others centered, not self-centered. See, walking in the ways of the Lord, I'm automatically walking the love walk. And love is always others-centered, not self-centered. So if Satan is having a heyday somewhere, I'm probably self-centered somewhere. I'm probably off-center. I'm carnally minded. When you're self-centered, thinking of self and how it affects you, you're automatically carnally minded. But if you take that thing and you're other-centered with whatever's going on, you concentrate on your love walk with others, then you're other-centered. He can't do anything with that. Matter of fact, he's terrified of it. And we need to remember that all sin, no matter what it is self-centered. That's what makes it sin.
Yeah.
All sin, no matter what it is self-centered. All love is other-centered. You're more interested in how it affects others than you are in yourself, because you know God's taking care of you. And we're going to read the love walk here. We've talked about it numerous times, but it needs to be on this CD, so we're going to go through it again using the Amplified, because there is no better place to go. And I've got a checklist for that if anybody wants it, but this has got divisions and sections, lines, different points as you go through. Every word is important, and we make it personal. We call it we or I, but I'm just going to read it like it is. Wherever you got love in there, you can make it a confession for someone else. Say you're praying for someone that they're not walking right with God. You can put their name in there as a confession or as a prayer before God, believing that you're receiving this functioning in their lives. Then the angels can grab that and take it to them and be working in their life with your confession by putting their name in there. Or yourself, because I desire this, I desire to walk this. And when I pray, I confess this as we, because I got a long list of people, including you, Nate. They're all in there.
They're on our list.
They're all on our list. And people that I haven't seen for many, many years, they're still on the list. Family and all kinds of people are on that list. I declare their names, and I pray these over them, because that's why I say we, because I'm covering all of us. So let's read it as it's written, though. Remember that word love, you can convert. Love endures long and is patient and kind. So the first thing I check to see if I'm keeping myself, am I patient and kind? Am I? Is that where I'm falling short? Have I been impatient today? Is something bugging me and pushing me? I got to let patience have its perfect work. That's what James says. That I may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I mean, that patience has a big job. So if I'm not being patient, guess where I'm falling short? And if I'm not kind, I'm not kind. So each one of these are points to look at. Love never is envious, nor boils over with jealousy. Am I jealous? Now, I may not identify it as jealousy, but am I? I got to get real with God here. Am I envious? Envious and jealousy kind of run together. There's do a study on envy in the Bible. You don't want to be there. You know, so if that's what I'm doing, one reason why it's so bad is the fact that God can give me something much better. Something that I can get what I'm envious of. I can have that and it totally ruined me. Or I can bless that person and be tremendously happy, convert that. My thought may be there to be envious, but I counteract it by rejoicing in what God's done for them. And when I do that, that defeats envy. It defeats jealousy. God then can use that to bring in his blessing for me, tailored for me. You know, that blessing that person got is tailored for them.
Mm-hmm.
Mine might be slightly different. tailored to fit me. His mother.
Well, I was thinking this lady, you know, that stayed with us in summer of 2003. One morning in church, the preacher got up and said that he got a check for $9,000 from a credit card company that said that he had overpaid them. Now that's some kind
that's
of
some kind of overpayment.
Well, later on when she was got really mad, she said, God never gave me no check for $9,000. Why should he get a check for $9,000? I said, did you overpay somebody $9,000? I mean, if you had a leg to stand on, that'd be different. But she was just really mad and jealous.
Well, I mean, see, that, and they don't know they're doing that. It's a mindset they have, and they have no idea of what they're doing. They just cancel their love walk and prayers. They open the door up, see, and they don't realize they're doing that. But love is never envious nor boils over with jealousy. Each one of these, if I'm struggling somewhere, I can use each one of these points to correct myself, to find out where I'm falling short. Don't blame God if you're falling short. He's provided for it. It's my fault if it's not working. I'm out of order somewhere. Or I don't know something I need to know. Love is not boastful or vainglorious. Am I boasting about, am I walking around just boasting about how great I am? Am I doing that? Now, it may be true, but love walk, you're humble. You never point out yourself. Does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. Am I walking in pride? Even pride that I don't know that I'm walking in. Am I? I need to allow the Holy Spirit to show me if I am. Because God hates pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Am I doing that, or have I done that? Have I showed my can to somebody? Oh, show them, or whatever, you know. Have I done that? Allow the Holy Spirit to be real with you. It may be something you forgot about, but it's something that is hindering.
Well, we don't know sometimes when it says something like display ourselves haughtily.
We don't.
What does that mean? Does that mean like you go around with your nose stuck up in the air?
Yeah.
You know, or somebody's stuck up.
I'm better than you
we
are.
We used to call them being stuck up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do not do that.
That person that if it rained, they'd drown.
Yeah. Yeah, because this one person was really mad that when they were kids with the cousins and stuff, the kids didn't want to play with her. And she was pouring out her heart later on that they treated her like she was stuck up. Well, you know what? She was stuck up. That's what anybody wanted to play.
This next statement, it says, love, God's love in us. See, we need to remember that this love abides in us. If we're born again, we don't have to work this love up. We just got to exercise it. See, it's already there. God has shed his love abroad in our hearts. It's there. If we're born again, love lives in me. Love himself lives in me. Because I'm born again. See, I don't fall short of these things. That's what I'm saying. It's just that I have to make a decision to walk in them. They're already present. I don't have to white-knuckle myself through these things. I just simply have to take account of them, repent, and start changing my way of behaving. Will I like it? Probably not to begin with. But when I see the results, when I see what happens because of it, and then I sense that flow of God in me and through me, and now all of a sudden I'm walking in peace in my life, and I don't know how I got there. I got there because of this. I'm choosing the love walk. So peace comes in. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. We need to say that slowly, because that's one of the main ones we fall short in. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. See, and we all fall short there. We've all done it even without realizing it. And sometimes we do it on purpose. But we've all been there. That's one place, that's a major one, where I can ask myself, "This, I've got a problem here with this. Why isn't this working? Okay, well, have I been insisting on my own rights here? Am I trying to force this to happen? If I am, I'm out of order. I'm not right. I'm insisting on my own rights." Now, it's not. It doesn't say you don't stand up for what's right. That's not what it's saying. It's saying you don't insist on it where you're concerned. You don't fight for yourself. You don't have to fight for yourself. That's God's job. You know, you're highly favored wherever you go, the Word says. His favor overrides the injustice. But it doesn't if I'm making it right. See, the difference is, am I making it right? Am I forcing this issue? Or am I allowing the Holy Spirit to do it? Now, I may say, hey, this isn't right, and they just walk on. I don't have to even convince the person that it's not right. The Holy Spirit's taking care of that. And we've all been there. I've been there. You'd be a claims adjuster once, sometime. They don't understand what a claims adjuster is. He adjusts. And that's what my boss told me. He said, Mike, before he hired me, he said, Mike, if we're not for them and you're not for us, you adjust. You've got gray areas. You've got things here. And you've got to pull the two together within the policy language and make this work. That's your job. You adjust it. You always overpay. But that's what an adjuster, he adjusts. That's why they call him that. And that's what we do as Christians. There's got something here, there's a violent, or there's an issue here, where there's a fuss or a fight or something that's not right, two people, and I may be one of them. I've got to be the adjuster here. I've got to do what I can do to make this right. I've got to see the other person's side of it, but I cannot debate. It takes two to fight. If one's not fighting, the other one runs out of ammunition. And that's what we got to see. Somewhere along the line, once that guy runs out, now you can communicate with him. But they got to see you communicate a little bull, if there's a word like that. You have to be someone that they can communicate to. Mm-hmm. You know, if you stand up and hold that sword up in that shield, they're not getting through and you're not getting through to them. But you got to be other-centered. Why does he see that? Why is he so strong on that? Well, there's got to be a reason he's that way. He's not just mean and ornery. Nobody's that way. But he's seeing something I'm not seeing. What is it? He may not be right. But if I focus that way and look at it, try to see it from the other angle, now I can communicate better with him. But I got to do it in love. And that may mean walking off this time. But you don't allow the strife. There's confusion in every evil work. Have I done that? Something's wrong here. Now, it may not look like they're connected. But they are. The love walk is connected to every area of your life. If you fall short in your love walk, it's going to affect something else. It's the way it is. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of an evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. That's a hard one. That's a hard one. But see, if I'm being consistent in my walk, what happens? I may start getting my feathers ruffled, but down inside, the Holy Spirit will start, Michael, you're out of order. You're out of order. You're taking an account of an evil done to you. Don't do that. Don't take account of it. The evil's done to you. Let me deal with it. You love the person anyways. Now, this is not easy to swallow. but it's real. It's the way God expects us. That's why Jesus said, love your enemies. Do good to those who persecute you and wrongfully and despitefully use you. Bless them and do not curse. That's what he's talking about. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but it rejoices when right and truth prevail. Now, who determines right and truth? You know, God's word does. You know, one nation under God with liberty and justice for all. I can't stop there. I always say, that's your idea, Lord, of justice and truth. Mm-hmm. If it's under God, it's his idea of what that is. So how many fights are going on right now, things that are not right? But they call them my rights. Mm-hmm. They're not rights. Not according to that statement. Because they're not right with God. So they're not right. Not on my soapbox. But we need to look at things through God's word. Through his way. Okay. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Is ever ready to believe the best of every person. There's another one. Is ever ready to believe the best of every person. There's some in here that are not easy to swallow. But you have to. If you're going to walk right with God, if you're going to walk the ways of the Lord, these are his ways. You can take each one of them and say, the Lord's ways is, or you can put God in there. God endures long and is patient and kind. Oh boy, is he. God takes no account of a suffered wrong.
He makes his rain fall on the just and the unjust.
Why? Why is this our responsibility? Because as he is, so are we in this world. This is a description of our behavior, of what we're supposed to be like. Now, do I have some adjustments to make? Every day. Several times a day. Numerous times a day. But if we ask the Holy Spirit to keep us in remembrance because we want to do this, he will. Now, we'll have to repent when we're wrong. And do whatever it takes to make it right. But he will do that. Love literally bears up under anything and everything that comes. And that part right there means I can bear up when that person's taking advantage of me. When he's despitefully using me. When he's unkind. I can bear up under that. Because love does. Love bears up under anything and under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are faithless under all circumstances. So I never look at the negative. I'm looking at the positive. What is hope? We talked about that in church a year or so ago. Hope is absolute earnest expectation. That's Bible hope. So I always... my absolute earnest expectation is always ready. I always focus on that. It's always there. And when it's not, I got to repent and fix it. I'll read that. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. It endures everything without weakening. There's nothing stronger than love.
Amen.
We'll walk this right here. On purpose, there's nothing we cannot overcome in life, no matter what it is. And I can guarantee you, depression won't be there. Love never fails, never fades out, becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. There is nothing stronger than love. Why? Because God is love. And as he is, so are we in this world. Satan is so terrified that we'll find this out. We're supposed to be like everybody else. That's what we're supposed to be. I mean, after all, you're living in a dark world. You're supposed to be that. That's the way people are. It's normal. It's not normal. It's abnormal.
But we're supposed
or a Christian.
To be,
that's
we're supposed to be considered peculiar.
Yeah. Peculiar people.
Or a Christian, that's abnormal behavior. I've got one more point, and then I'll be done. I've got to change spots next week. A person walking in the ways of the Lord, having an established heart, or who is spiritually minded will be walking in the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, again, are the ways of the Lord. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. We just talked about that. So the reason the fruit, love, is listed first is because of that. God is love. God is love. We are love. So the fruit of the Spirit is love. And everything else flows, all these other fruits flow from love. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Long-suffering and self-control are patience. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's, and we are if we're born again, have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, or be spiritually minded. Let us not be conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. The amp of verse 22 again says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. The amplified there says, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work of His presence within, accomplishes. I like that. Because the Holy Spirit is within me, His work accomplishes these things. They come in with the Holy Spirit. I'm not lacking in any of them. They're all there. I have to make a choice to exercise them and walk in them. They are part of the ways of the Lord that we're supposed to be walking in. I'll read them again and then we'll close. I'll say it to where the Amplified says, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which His presence within accomplishes, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And what that means is Satan cannot come up with anything that can defeat them. Mm-hmm. There's nothing in all of creation that can keep those from working. There's nothing more powerful than love and joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control flow from that. That's where they get their powers from, love. And they draw on one another. They draw power from one another. But if you're born again, these are in you. That's why we can walk the love walk, because it's already here. We got to renew our mind to it, and then I got to make a decision to walk in it. But if I'm walking in His ways, I have an established heart, and I am spiritually minded.
Amen.
Amen. So if I'm failing anywhere, look at your love walk. Look at the fruit. Am I exercising those fruits? If it's not working, it's not God. And if it's Satan, he can only work it if I'm allowing him to. So ultimately, no matter how I look at it, it's me. I'm out of order. Father, we thank You for this word today. Lord, it's a good word. It's a hard word, but it's a word, Lord, that we need to hear and know. It's a word, Father, that we need to have in our spirit man, that our minds need to be renewed to these things. The power is already given to us. If we're to shine as a light in the dark world, this is the way we're going to have to do it. These are the things that causes us to be conquerors and walk as more than conquerors. These are the things that You've presented to us so that we can be more than conquerors. They're the check that boxer brought home to his wife. That's what the check is. These fruit of the Spirit, these things that You've given to us, the love walk, the Word of God. Lord, You've given us these things. And through them, we can be more than conquerors. We can conquer through You who loved us. For really, truly, greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. And we thank You for it, Father. Thank You for one another, that we can link up together. Thank You, Lord, that we can walk these things together and help one another with them. Thank You for the Holy Spirit. And thank You, Holy Spirit, for teaching us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.